Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
So it's not a sin in your church to have an abortion?
That's the kind of conversation we would have finding out your story, where you're from. God's the judge. People have to live to their own conviction.
The science is clear. The Bible is clear. And if we're honest, our intuitions are clear. We know what we're killing. We're killing a human being.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And away we go.
It's the Wretched Radio mail call delivery bag Q&A infotainment.
I missed my own cue.
Extravaganza featuring your voicemails,
correspondences, and I'm talking over the stinger.
Dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
What kind of a professional radio program is this? Well, it's not.
With a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
The mail is here!
Woo! Although, don't want to brag, you know what conjunction is coming next, but this is the best produced Christian radio program on this station at this time. Don't want to brag, I'm just saying. Would you please send your questions, comments, conundrums, or snarks to idea@wretched.org? Would love it. You can correct me. You can add something. You can send a story. You can send a sermon. Whatever you do, send something to idea@wretched.org.
All right. So you remember a couple of weeks ago you talked about the Enneagram?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, everybody loved that. Yeah.
Yeah. So Eric wrote in, and he had some pretty good information. He said the Enneagram is much more than just a personality test.
Yes, it is.
You'll find that it has its origins rooted in the occult, and Enneatypes are a direct result of automatic writing or demonic possession.
Yeah. I don't think that there's anything that is worth our dabbling. I did state that it's akin to like a Myers-Briggs personality test. And I can understand how it might help somebody with their thinking and getting their thoughts ordered about how they're feeling, about what they should be doing in life, for instance. But there's dangers lurking with the Enneagram. There's all kinds of ways that you can be brought in deeper and deeper. How do I know? It's because of the people who started the whole shebang. They are not theologians that you should be reading. Instead, a lot of it is indeed occultic, and it is anti-Christian. Be warned. And send your emails to idea@wretched.org.
Okay, so Samantha's written in. She says she has an older brother, and he's on the dark side. She says, my parents and I have debated him on the consistency of the Bible, among other things, and I want to continue to do so, but we seem to be going in circles, and I'm not sure if I should just shake the dirt from my feet or not.
Well, that means you're going barefoot a lot, so you might want to be careful of sharp objects, and maybe, just maybe, this principle to your relationships might apply in this instance. It might not. Here's the feeling we have. We know what is right, don't we? Somebody in our family that we love doesn't get it. We want them to get it. So what do? We treat them like family, which has a tendency to be less than formal and polite than we are with actual strangers. And so we go to the mattresses and we wrangle. And if it gets to the point where it's circular, I think you have permission to stop. You don't have to keep going. If you've said your piece, and you have made it clear where you stand, specifically on the gospel, I don't think that you need to feel like, I got to keep going. I got to every day. I got to get up. Because what if they die and go to hell? That's right. Well, you've already told them. They've already heard you. And you need to be wise in going forward, because in a family, you want to keep your relationships. And this might be applicable to you, mom and dad. If you've got a son or daughter, they're perhaps a little wayward right now. They're driving you bonkers because they're sinning like nobody's business. And you want them to be saved. And so every time you get together, when they allow you to get together, you got to get the gospel. I got to share. Then why aren't you repenting right now? You don't have to do that. Might I suggest this? If you're confused as to whether or not you've been thorough enough in your gospel presentation, take your unbelieving loved one to lunch, because there's something that you want to tell them. And then when you get to the meal, they're going to be begging you, what do you want to tell me? Enjoy the meal. Enjoy the person. Just love the person. They're lost and they're your family. You know, God so loved a lost world, he gave his only begotten son. So you can love your lost loved one and share the gospel with them and say, I just want to get this out on the table, and I won't be bothering you with it again because I love you too much, and I want to keep our relationship going, but I just have to share this with you one last time. And then share the law, share the gospel, share the resurrection, share repentance and faith, and then get back to eating lunch. And you can just love them. Was just watching a video from Ray Comfort. Ray is 72 years old. He was witnessing to, there were two guys in this clip that they just posted at Living Waters. And the one, Ray said to this one guy, he goes, you know, the life expectancy in America is 72. I just turned 72. My life is over. Like I'm just riding out the clock here because tick, 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 it's going to be pretty soon. And the guy's face was like, what? You're 72? He's really youthful. And Ray's tone is so sweet. He was witnessing to this fellow, and if you had just looked at him and a caricature of him, you would go, kind of a tough guy. And this guy looks like he could be pretty mean. Ray was not watered down in his preaching, and sin is exceedingly sinful, and the wrath of God is abiding upon you. And it horrifies me to think that you'd go to hell because I love you. And it makes my stomach sick to think that you're going to be in hell for eternity. Okay, that's more talking about hell than probably 80% of all evangelical churches, well, ever. He didn't water it down. And the guy, when it was done, actually called Ray back and said, I got to tell you, thank you. Your approach was good, and that really spoke to me. I guess there are times when in a personal relationship that you can, like Jesus did, offer more stern words, but overall, remember, meek, lowly, gentle, loving, speaking truth and love, filled with grace and truth. Love your loved ones. And don't get into fight. We should never get into theological fights with somebody. As soon as you feel it in that territory, I would encourage you to go, you know what, stop. I'm sorry. We shouldn't fight like this over something this big and this important because I want you to believe it too much. So I'm sorry for my tone. Let's do this another day when I can be more civil. Love your loved ones and send your emails to idea@wretched.org.
All right. So Nathan recently listened to a segment where you talked about having your conscience guide you in matters of holiness. And he was wondering, what's the difference between the Holy Spirit and the conscience in a believer's life?
Yeah, you tell me. Because God has given every man, every woman, every child a conscience. It bears witness. It tells you when you do right and wrong. This is not so, probably, for the unbeliever, but it is for the believer that the Holy Spirit, he continues to inform us and grow us in holiness. And so does he work with our conscience? I assume that he does. Does he work supernaturally and powerfully within us? Yes. Does he most certainly work through our cognitive functions? Absolutely. So to try to decipher the difference, but is that okay? Am I feeling convicted because of my conscience and the Holy Spirit? I would say yes. Yes, you are. I don't think it's an either or. I think it's a both and. Wouldn't start a church on this position or a denomination. By the way, I saw a church do something. Not going to mention the name of it because it's a local church and we don't go around the country picking on local churches. But I'd watch for this trend. This church, you could smell it coming from miles away. You know, they were having conversations about the role of women in church. And you know what that means. We're about to go slip sliding away into liberalism. And sure enough, they just sent out a document to all of their folks saying, we've decided to change the bylaws. Okay, what did they do? Instead of calling the office elders, they're calling it the leadership team, which is not a biblical term at all. It's elder, it's presbyter, it's bishop. It's somebody who's mature in the faith assigned to that office. It's not called the leadership department or whatever it is that they called it. And they, therefore, it can be male or female. Because, see there, it's not elders. It's leadership team. All right, if you're playing the function, then you are trying to get yourself into the office. And it's a sleight of hand. And I thought, oh, no, I hope this isn't going to be the new clever game that we play to try to look sensitive and thoughtful and acquiesce to culture and perhaps to some women who are complaining. By the way, I'm glad you asked. Was watching a sermon by a woman. It's painful, honestly, for me. It's painful. And I think there's a reason for it. Preaching, even if it is done tenderly, has authority. That's what preaching is. Teaching is disseminating information. Preaching is, hey, listen, obey. Even if you preach like Alistair Begg, you know, he always sounds nice, even when he's being convicting. It has authority in it because that's what preaching is. So I'm watching this woman and I'm bristling at it because I don't think that's the way that God made us. I just don't think just genetically the way that he has males and females that men are built to handle that authority over them from a woman. I just think it's kind of the way that God designed us. But furthermore, she was terrible, and it dawned on me. I regularly hear from women who are pastors, they'll say, you know, how can you deny my gifting? Well, you know what? I've heard your gifting. And I don't think you actually have the gift that you think you've been given. Please send your emails to idea@wretched.org. Thanks for asking. This is Wretched Radio.
Well, it's June, and you know what that means, right? Christmas, it's practically right around the corner. So obviously now is the time to find your loved one that perfect gift. Surprisingly, there's no sarcasm in that statement at all. Just look at all the shortages we're seeing in the world right now. You might want to go ahead and get started on your Christmas shopping. And Wretched, well, as always, we're here to help. Just write these dates down and get ready to take advantage of our summer sale, June 11th through the 13th. Everything, absolutely everything, will be 50% off, plus all orders of $45 or more will receive a free copy of Life is Best with its study guide. Listen, I know you don't want to think about Christmas right this moment, but don't make us be those people. You know, the ones that say, told you so, when December rolls around and you're scrambling to find the right gift. We'd like to think we're above all that, but honestly, we're not. So just take advantage of it. Take advantage of the Wretched Summer Sale happening June 11th through the 13th. Don't miss this one. Visit the Wretched store at wretched.org. That's wretched.org.
You say Edith in Romania, they say Edith.
Burdened by the hopelessness surrounding her, Edith prayed for a way to bring the gospel to Çakale. Since she started in 2008, she has discipled more than 100 children in this small village, and countless lives have been changed.
If you have never been to Romania, permit me to draw the picture. Think poor, forsaken, dead town in the middle of nowhere. That is where the Tomorrow Clubs thrive. Kids clubs bringing the gospel to small villages. The kids get saved. The parents get saved. The church gets revitalized. And this is happening all over Eastern Europe, courtesy of the Tomorrow Clubs and you. $30 a month, 30 disciples. Would you please consider supporting your own Tomorrow Clubs? TomorrowClubs.org/wretched.
I say potato, you say potato. I say primer, he says primer. For the last 20 years, there's been a remarkable amount of talk about the gospel. But could it be that we've been talking more about the message than we have the wellspring of the message? The word gospel is used 25 times in the New Testament, but the word Jesus is used 691 times. Have we majored more on the message than we have on the center of the message? Maybe it's time we fill our hearts and our conversations more with Jesus. And Wretched has a unique opportunity for you to begin doing just that. Pastor Milton Vincent has written a powerful book that we know will grow your love for Christ. He calls it The Gospel Primer. I say primer. Either way, we wanted to make this book available to you because we want you to begin to experience the joy of the Lord in a more powerful way. Get your copy of The Gospel Primer by visiting wretched.org/gospel. That's wretched.org/gospel.
Books of the Bible. The book of Ecclesiastes is a philosophical and poetic reflection on life. The author teaches that no matter what, all men die and face God's judgment.
Life, then, is full of vanity and despair. Anything that is pursued for its own sake is meaningless. But if we pursue God above all else, we can enjoy even mundane things as gifts from God. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Eureka! Found another one. This is Wretched Radio, hoping that you will send emails with questions, comments, conundrums, snarks to idea@wretched.org. Whilst you're doing that, let me share with you my non-Oprah Winfrey aha moment. I'm reading through 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. I mentioned last week, 1st Thessalonians, something jumped out at me. 1st Thessalonians used the phrase gospel of God. And Paul at other times uses the gospel of Christ. What is that? That is a clear statement of equality, that Christ and God are one and the same. So then I'm reading through 2 Thessalonians. And I was reading, let me set you up for it. Who should get glory? No, not a celebrity, not a blogger. No, God, and God alone should get glory. That doesn't mean we can't encourage people that do good work. That doesn't mean we can't esteem people who are pastors and do a great job. But giving glory, that is for God alone, which is my reason for thinking. Could be wrong on this, but I'm a radio talk show host, so I'm probably not. This is why so many celebrities die young or they're miserable, because you shouldn't be getting that sort of praise and adulation. You're not made for it. God is, and he should get it alone. That's why when I was reading 2 Thessalonians, I read the glory of Christ, that he's returning to receive his glory. Only God gets glory biblically. And that was another statement of equality, that Jesus Christ is God himself. Don't you just love the elegance of the Bible? And don't you just love 22 reasons that Jesus Christ is God, which is available at wretched.org. By the way, before we get to the mailbag with questions, comments, conundrums, snarks, another discovery that I would like to share with you. MediShare. I discovered they've got Teladocs. So if you don't want to go to the doc, you just want to like, hey, you know, the elbow is kind of hurting. And can you tell me, you don't want to go to the doc, you don't want to do the copay, they've got Teladocs. I didn't know that. And we're a member. I would like to encourage you to consider becoming one also. This may be the answer to prayer regarding the protection of your family regarding health issues. It's not traditional insurance. It's affordable biblical health sharing. 400,000 Christians strong, sharing each other's medical expenses. It may be right for your, it may not be, but it may be exactly right for your family, especially when you save about, on average, $500 a month. Got your attention, didn't I? Visit MediShare.com/wretched, MediShare.com/wretched. Jimmy, 844-34-BIBLE?
Yes.
Okay, or you can just call them. And in 2 minutes, they'll tell you what you could be saving every month. Check out all the details on their website and see if MediShare is maybe a great idea for your family. That's my second discovery. Let's go to the mailbag, idea@wretched.org.
All right, so this is a pretty tough one from Wayne. He says, how does one deal with the emotional pain and guilt when you have committed an abortion? Some people say I should forgive myself, but I just don't know how to do that.
You can't do that. Can't. I know it's a cliche, and that's it's a mantra of our world. You got to forgive yourself. I'd love to see what philosophical system concocted that notion. But we don't sin against ourselves. It's far worse. We sin against others and gulp. We sin against God. And so, Wayne, I would say to you, you have sinned grievously against God and against a baby. And that's good news for you. Because Jesus Christ is an excellent Savior who forgives people who have abortions. He's an excellent Savior who forgives people that get involved in sexual promiscuity, perhaps of the most perverted order. Jesus Christ is an excellent Savior of people who murder, either with their hands or in their hearts. He is that big. He is that good. He is that gracious. He is that kind. Ask him for forgiveness. Receive forgiveness from Jesus Christ, and then go about your business living in response to the excellent Savior who died to forgive you of your sin of abortion. That is your road to healing. Now, does that mean, okay, God, I'm sorry that I did the abortion stuff. I feel better now. No, it doesn't work that way. You need to stew on this knowledge. You need to meditate on it. You need to think it through and be reminded of it. And every time guilt or shame raises its ugly head, you just put it down. And you just put it down with the truth. Jesus is an excellent Savior. I'm the chief of sinners. Jesus is an amazing Savior. I'm forgiven. I'm not going to feel that anymore because Jesus forgave me. Please send your emails to idea@wretched.org.
All right, so William says he just recently learned about the concept of open theism. He wants to know, what is it and is it biblical?
No. 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 It's not. You may remember reading a book called Letters to a Skeptic. It was all the rage a number of years ago. It was written by a St. Paul pastor named Greg Boyd, Dr. Greg Boyd. Totally likable guy. I know Greg. Super likable. His views are heretical. They're just, that is heretical. Because open theism teaches that God does not know the future. God learns some things as you learn them too. I believe it's Greg's effort to try to kick the evil can down the street. Well, God, you know, God didn't know that somebody was going to do something that terrible, and he feels just as bad about it as you do. Oh, yes, he did know. He has ordained everything. He doesn't cause sin. He permits sin. He uses sin sinlessly. But God doesn't learn about sin. God knows everything, the Alpha and the Omega, the end from the beginning, and every single thing in between. There's not a rogue molecule in the universe. Open theism says, yeah, there is. But don't worry, even though the course of your life, you might get kind of swept away at sea and diverted from your course, but God is going to pull your boat into safe harbor eventually. Hold on. If God can't control my boat when the waves are rocking, how do I know he can pull me into harbor? That's the problem with open theism. It's not helpful. The book Letters to a Skeptic, it was a fascinating read. I remember going, much of this is good, but it was very much an apologetical approach to conversion. He's trying to convert his dad through apologetics, which is, apologetics has its place, but please note, apologetics has saved no one, never. Not now, not Noha, not ever. We use apologetics in response to reasonable questions, not argumentative accusations, because we can give a reason to everybody who asks about the hope that lies within us. We should be good apologists, but apologists do not save people if they just use apologetics. It is the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation. That is what the Holy Spirit works with to convert. Now, of course, it's mingled in somebody's testimony, but God uses the preaching of the word. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing from apologetics? No, hearing from the word of God. So Greg was trying to apologize his dad into the kingdom. And then I remember going, hold on here. Hey, Dad, about this evil stuff, don't worry. God doesn't know about it either. Boing! And so it was. Greg Boyd was revealed for being an open theist. He joined others like Clark Pinnock, who were deemed outside of orthodoxy by the Evangelical Theological Society, and it takes a lot to do. I think they were. I'll Google that. You Google that. It'll be an interesting read for you. But they were identified as being the two leaders of, and there were others, of open theism, which is heresy. Because it makes God less than God. Is it biblical? No, it's anti-biblical. Please send your emails to idea@wretched.org.
Okay, Sam says he often hears many preachers mentioned, do you remember the day when you turned from sin and put your faith in Jesus? No. He says he thinks to himself, no, I don't remember the day, but I know my heart changed. So he's wondering, do I truly have to know the day I was actually saved to truly be saved?
The important sentence was, I know that it's happened. That's the important thing. Do I think it is beneficial to try to figure it out? I actually do, because it's a big deal. You remember when you almost died in that car accident. You should remember that you were saved from eternal damnation. It should be a big deal. And yet we do need to be careful that we don't do what many of the revivalist preachers did in the 1800s, the Great Awakenings in the 18th century. the preaching of the revivalists around the country very concerned. By the way, we're going to go like deep dive into this subject next week. The history of the Great Awakenings were that of, well, it became very emotional. They were concerned that the mainline Protestant denominations were too soft. And the mainline Protestant denominations, Episcopalianism, Methodism, it was more about, well, you just stay in the church, grow them up in the church, and they kind of by osmosis become a Christian. And the revivalists went, you got to be born again, man. And you should know it because it's a big deal. And you need to have a close personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And they put a really big emphasis on having a very big conversion event. Conversion is a big event. For some people, it's more dramatic than others. If that describes you, it is fine for you to spend some time trying to figure out when it happened. But the far more important question is, has it happened? And if it has, then you don't need to be in a fit over it. And you don't need to be in a panic. Conversion is a big deal, but it's not required for you to enter the kingdom, only if you know the exact second. This is Wretched Radio.
This is Wretched Radio, and I'm Jimmy Hicks. President Joe Biden has hailed June as LGBT Pride Month. He released a statement accusing conservative states of actively targeting transgender youth for discrimination. Among his first actions upon taking office was signing an executive order declaring his intentions to interpret non-discrimination laws in such a way as to require recognition of sexual orientation and gender identity in a wide variety of contexts, meaning that it's not okay to discriminate against anyone, unless, of course, they're a white Christian male, then that discrimination would be mandatory. And in a pair of settlements that require more than $2 million in compensation to the attorneys who challenged the laws for breach of religious freedom, the state of California has agreed to refrain from imposing coronavirus regulations on church meetings that are no more rigorous than retail venues. A federal court in San Diego granted final approval to a settlement between the churches and the state. Litigation in one case is estimated to cost around $1.6 million and the other around $550,000. And as the rate of COVID has declined significantly, current California Governor Gavin Newsom is prepared to relax all restrictions on June 15th. Well, the San Diego Police Department are enforcing a new set of rules on interactions with individuals who identify as transgender and non-binary, coercing their officers into using the preferred pronouns of such individuals, as well as accommodating body searches and transportation to the needs associated with their gender identity. So you might be wondering how a person playing pretend affects the way police conducts a body search. Well, such individuals, once they're arrested, are to be assigned a male or female police officer for the purposes of transport and body searches according to the arrestee's will. And that's not all. Officers must also confirm with the arrestee the sex-allocated prison facility to which they would like to be taken. Okay, so there's a lot here, but let's correct the first thing. It's not an arrestee, it's a criminal. But what we see is as long as that criminal identifies as another sex other than the one that they were born with, then they get to pick where they want to go to jail. Anybody else see the problem with this? And in Canada, a bill that would have made it illegal for any doctor to knowingly commit an abortion merely because of the sex of the unborn baby was defeated in the House of Commons this week with support from pro-abortion politicians, including some conservatives. The vote against the Sex Selective Abortion Act was 248-82 during a planned second reading of the bill on Wednesday. The bill was defeated despite the fact that a 2020 poll found that 84% of Canadians oppose legalizing abortion if the family does not want the baby to be a certain sex. So basically, Canada's government's doing exactly what it wants despite what the majority of the people who elect them think. Huh, well, that sounds like America. More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
Know your reformers. Jan Hus, a Czech priest, was inspired by the writings of John Wycliffe to preach against papal excess and false doctrines such as transubstantiation. Even as he was burned at the stake by the Catholic Church, he continued to preach the gospel and sing the Psalms. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
No, I'm not buying time here. Really?
1-877-282-BEEP. 1-877-282-BEEP.
I think I drive by the guy who plays this song in his car. Why do these people think that it's really fun for the rest of us to hear their thumpy thump music when they're driving down the road? And the kids with their eardrums, please note, I am not trying to buy time before we actually get to your phone calls because they scare me. What I just said is you scare me. But please call 1-877-282-BEEP. This is not to put it off, but I watched, well, sort of. I have to confess, I napped a lot through a TV show the other night. We're watching through whatever channel it was on. And we went, oh, that looks at least kind of interesting. It was called ATHOS, I think, because I'm serious. It was like 87 minutes long, and I probably slept easily through an hour of it. It was a snooze. It was supposed to be one of those moody pieces about these Eastern Orthodox priests on an island off of Greece. 2,000 of them. They're the ones who inhabit the island. And all they do all day is pray and study. Pray and work. Pray and study. And I was so grieved by it. And I was so reminded that so many people are lured into the Eastern Orthodox Church because they like the tradition. Hey, I've got a connection to the original source. I'm in the true church. And I was reminded Eastern Orthodoxy just doesn't know the gospel. If this is any representation of what others believe, these priests all day were either praying to Mary, there's a problem, and they were always praying, have mercy, Lord, have mercy. Lord. So they would be walking before they'd open up the door, Lord, have mercy. And they would go to cut a fish open, Lord, have mercy. They're putting sticks in the fire, Lord, have mercy. And it was an awful lot of Lord, have mercy. There was no gospel whatsoever. And they even described their desire to perfect themselves by doing these things, by constantly praying, mumbling, Lord, have mercy, and working and to be self-sustaining on an island. They were self-sanctifying. That's not the gospel. Furthermore, their desire was to be separate from the world. And I asked, well, what's the point of that? What are you accomplishing? How are people hearing the gospel from you? Not that they were actually preaching the gospel, but what is this accomplishing? This asceticism, this living in monasteries? No, no, and no. Luther was right. We're in the world, just not of the world. We are to be missionaries wherever we are. And you can't be when you're sitting on the island of Athos praying, Lord, have mercy. And then we watched, wasn't the same night, watched another show. I don't know the name of it. It was that good. It was the story where they were in Great Britain and they were on the Dover, by the Dover Cliffs. Looked like it was kind of a tourist town. And the mom was Roman Catholic and she went to church. She came home and she said, you know what dawned on me today? We said, Lord, have mercy, 18 times during the Mass. And I hearken back to the island of Athos. Why would Roman Catholics and why would Eastern Orthodox have to constantly plead with God to have mercy? And the answer is because they don't believe that all sins, past, present, and future, have been forgiven by Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 2, nailed to a tree. Your transcripts, nailed to the cross, gone, totally forgiven. And I was reminded again, Roman Catholic Church and Eastern Orthodox churches, they do not have that joy because they do not have that gospel.
You're not wasting time, are you?
No, no. Did something happen? Did I what?
You seen any good movies lately?
Maybe the island of Athos put me back to sleep again. 1-877-282-BEEP.
Church sign. Choosing.
Wait. Wow. Dude, you're a crack up. I haven't heard this in years. We used to do this so often. People would send in church signs that they would see. And honestly, it got to the point where it was overwhelming. Why? Because there are that many bad church signs. Wow. Let's hear what this one is. Something tells me it's a Lulu.
Church sign. Choosy moms. Choose Jesus.
Oh, yeah. That's right. First of all, decisional regeneration. Second of all, comparing Jesus to peanut butter. Whew. Church signs. They're tricky, I grant you. We can do better than that, can't we? 1-877-282-BEEP.
Hey, Todd, at our church, when we have music performers, or even maybe when the music is played for the offering, people in our church clap. And I don't, because I believe that they're clapping for a performance. And what we do in church, the singing should be worship. I just wondered your thoughts on this.
You could be right. You could perhaps consider that maybe they are rightly applauding God, because we can do that. It's not easy to do. And quite honestly, this is a great opportunity to understand the difference between heaven and earth. We are going to be in heaven doing everything for to the applause of God. Everything. All right. I'm going to drink my Berry Punch Body Armor Light, low calorie, no sugar added right now. Didn't do that for the glory of God. I will in heaven. You say, how? Because I'm going to be thinking, God provided this. God has given this. God allows me to have a throat. He allows me to have there's a process in your throat that causes it to go like a snake, like that gets the rat down into its stomach. Is it it's the thing that causes the food to go where it needs to go and not come back up again. Put a little trap door there. Unless, of course, you got reflux. That's a different deal. But God gave us medicine for that, too. Point is, I'm going to be mindful of that in heaven, thanking God, giving him glory for every single thing. We're going to be enjoying it rightly. We're supposed to be doing that on earth. And a way that we could do that is if we see something that's glorious, or we see something that is a great worship song, we hear it and appreciate it. Can we be applauding God? Yes, we can be. Perhaps those people are, perhaps they're not. So I would put the best construction on it, and I'm going to say, yeah, that's why they're doing it. If not, you could actually bring it to the pastor and say, hey, pastor, I understand that we can clap to the glory of God. Do you think the congregation understands that? Or is it possible we're following the footsteps of the world who applaud after a singer sings a song that we like? Because we should see a rose in a field and be giving glory to God for it. And some people actually do that. But I've never seen anybody in a field see a rose and go, it's probably that we're following the patterns of the world, but you could put the best construction on it, bring it to your pastor and say, maybe, pastor, if you ever think about it, reminding people that, hey, when you applaud, don't applaud man. Be applauding God for giving these men and women the skills to do that. Then I think it can be just fine. 1-877-282-BEEP.
I just heard Todd on a Witness Wednesday encounter, and he told somebody, when you fall away from the faith, it usually means that you were never saved in the first place.
I shouldn't have said usually.
Because salvation is usually a radical, life-changing encounter. And I agree with that completely. Maybe develop that for us explicitly. Where from the Bible you teach that?
A man must be born again, Jesus told Nicodemus. So that alone, is birth a big deal? We'd go, yeah, the miracle of birth, and oh, they're going to have a baby, and the baby's healthy, and it's just amazing, look at what God knit together. Well, that's how we see a birth. It's a big deal. The new birth, bigger deal. So there is that. Unless a man is born again, he will not inherit the kingdom of God. Furthermore, we should see from the preaching that we see in the book of Acts. The book of Acts really should be better titled The Preaching of the Apostles. Nevertheless, we see preaching and we see people responding, and their lives are radically altered. They gather together for fellowship. They share with one another. They study the word together. They hear preaching together. You just see radical change. Now, having said that, and again, we will explore this in way more detail next week. I think you're going to find it a really wild ride through the history of evangelicalism in America. Next week, we're going to do that. Maybe Monday. Maybe. And you're going to see that the revivalists desired to make sure people had that radical experience. Because if you've been saved from death, you remember it. It is a remarkable event, and your affections are changed, and your desires are changed, and you're headed in a new direction. So I would cite for you biblically all the commands in the New Testament, about 36 of them, to repent. That's pretty radical stuff when it's like, whoa, I didn't used to like to do that. Now I do, and I used to hate that, but now I love it. Now I love what I hate. It's a radical sort of affair. Having said that, the revivalists insisted you have that. And so they went about the business of trying to manipulate that many times, but they were concerned about dead orthodoxy and not being concerned about the urgency of the new birth, much like the Pietists in response to the Lutherans that had been in the Reformation. They were worried about the apathy and the taking it kind of light. Well, you know, it's grace and we're good. No, they were concerned about it. And so were the revivalists. And we should be, too. But let's be careful, though, for those people who don't perhaps have the recollection of that experience figured out yet, that we don't make it an issue that is the only way that you're going to get to heaven. This is Wretched Radio. Forget the power of cheese, the power of the ultrasound.
Darlene came to our clinic. She's accompanied by her boyfriend. She just came from Planned Parenthood, but they were unable to provide an ultrasound because they charged for them, and she probably didn't have the money. When she's in the counseling room, apart from her boyfriend, she says that the relationship with the baby's father was probably going to end anyway. So she wanted to abort, presented the gospel. She politely declined the gospel. We gave her an ultrasound, and she walked out the door, still abortion-minded, with the ultrasound picture in hand. We made another call for her a couple days later, and she said, you know, I can't come in, but do you know where I can get some prenatal vitamins? And she had chose life.
One ultrasound, $28. $28, one life. How many ultrasounds could you provide through preborn.org/wretched, preborn.org/wretched.
Hey, thanks for being here today on Wretched Radio. Are you getting the monthly Wretched newsletter? If you got to stop and think about it, then you're probably not, because if you were, you'd remember. The monthly Wretched newsletter comes to your email every month. Imagine that. And it covers tough theological issues and keeps you up to date on all things new at Wretched. Just go to wretched.org/newsletter to get signed up. That's wretched.org/newsletter. Not only are you going to get updates on all the things happening in Wretched, but you're also going to get thorough and in-depth messages on a wide range of theological issues. Plus, and this is probably the best part, you become eligible to win free stuff from Wretched just by being signed up for the monthly Wretched newsletter. It's free. We're not going to check your credit or anything invasive like that. All you have to do is just go to wretched.org and scroll all the way down to the bottom and click newsletter to get yourself signed up. Or you can do it the easy way by going to wretched.org/newsletter. That's my recommendation. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Surprise! I continue to be surprised by MediShare, even though I researched it like nobody's business before Mrs. Friel and I committed to affordable biblical health sharing as opposed to our traditional insurance plan. I researched, but I did not know all of the things that I'm discovering about MediShare. For instance, people are way more satisfied after making the switch. The customer satisfaction rate is double that of typical health insurance plans. Double. Is MediShare right for everyone? No, nothing really is. But it might be right for your family, and you might be very, very happy with it, especially when you're saving on average $500 per month per family. Interested? Learn more at MediShare.com/wretched or receive a quote within 2 minutes by calling 844-34-BIBLE, 844-34-BIBLE.
Lexicon. The Incarnation is one of the greatest miracles recorded in the Bible. At the Incarnation, the eternal God became a human being. He did not abandon his deity, nor did he put on a human shell like a hand puts on a puppet. Jesus Christ is 100% human and 100% God, the only acceptable sacrifice for the forgiveness of sins. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And the one more time with the feelings. Lawrence Welk. 1-877-282-BEEP. You probably couldn't recognize that spot-on impression of Lawrence Welk, but that's only because your recollection of Lawrence Welk is a little bit fuzzy. I'm telling you, my 1 and a 2 and a 3 was spot-on. That used to be a TV show. Wow, have times changed. Do you remember having, getting to watch that program with your family when you were a kid? I think it was on Saturdays, maybe Sunday. Saturday programming was better. Sunday was okay, and the family would gather to watch people dance and sing. Today, families get together to watch stuff. I am telling... Okay, so this movie that I watched about the mom who was Roman Catholic, it was rated PG-13, and there was no sex in it. We didn't see any of that monkey business, and there was people weren't swearing. It was PG-13. And then, remember, 13-year-olds can watch this. And then out of the blue, the Roman Catholic mom drops the F-bomb. We watched this because it said PG-13. What the world thinks that a 13-year-old should hear is a little bit different than what I think they should be hearing. Shocking. Absolutely shocking. And by the way, did you see the story? I think it's a school in New York of the kids, the sex ed curriculum that's being taught to their kindergartners. And their parents don't know about it. They're outraged. But in the article that reported this story, they would not give their names because they're afraid of getting canceled. Intimidation works, y'all. It's not the Christian way, but it's a way that works, and the world sure is using it. Please send your questions, comments, conundrums, snarks to idea@wretched.org or BeepTalk1-877-282-BEEP.
Hey, John, if there is a professing Christian who says they're a Democrat and they are made aware of the Democrat Party's platform and they... refuse to renounce the Democratic Party even after hearing about their platform and being told why it's unbiblical, can we keep fellowship with Democrats?
Oh, that's, you made that way more pointed than I wish you had. I was hoping you were going to say, are they heretics? Because the answer to that would be maybe, maybe not. Because I think that in times like this and the scenario, whether it's because they love the pro-abort party or because they're confused on a secondary theological issue or they're even confused on a sin issue or what kind of movies you should watch, I think we want to be pastoral in this. So we don't want to rush to judgment in these things. So more information is needed. And sometimes time is needed. I can't tell you how much... I remember a number of years ago seeing several videos of people who got saved and suddenly became pro-life. They didn't even understand. Boink, it happened. That isn't always the case. Sometimes people just need to learn. They have been indoctrinated for years, and we need to be pastoral. We need to shepherd people. We need to disciple people and explain to people, you can't be voting for somebody who wants to spend your money to kill babies and redefine the most basic institution on the planet known as marriage and allow people to assign themselves their own gender. You can't support that as a believer. You can't. Now, one of the reasons that I think that we can deal with them patiently is that they have been stoked with all of the arguments against it. Perhaps they've got some sort of an experience with the issue. Perhaps they've been reading some of the recent evangelical attempts to justify voting for somebody who's a pro-abort by saying it's absolutely dishonest. Abortion went down more under Democratic presidents than Republican presidents. No, it didn't. Furthermore, even though the abortion rate has been dropping, there are other reasons for it. And it's as simple as this. The party that wants to give money to Planned Parenthood is going to be responsible for performing abortions, and you don't want to be supporting that. It is an issue. We just can't jump over that hurdle. Could it be that there's a local level that is just, it's really perhaps a small town, and you've got to be elected for... lawn maintenance. It's a lawn maintenance position. Could you vote for a Democrat? I guess so, because they have no influence on these issues. It's not what they do. They're working at City Hall. I guess maybe, possibly. But that's not what we're usually talking about. We're talking about people who want to go into an office to exercise their authority to go about the business despite what Roman Catholics like Joe Biden will tell you. They don't want to impose their religious values on people. Yes, they do. And the Democratic Party does that regarding the life issue, the marriage and gender issues. That's what they want. It's in their platform. And I personally do not know how a Christian can condone that. But I can understand why it might take them some time to get that. Could it ever get to the point where it's like, all right, bro, like we've talked about this. I've used sled on you. Size, level of development, environment, degree of dependency. I've used trot out the toddler, all of the great pro-life tactics that we talk about, by the way, on Life is Best, available at wretched.org. And they're like, no, no, I still think we should be paying to kill babies. Nope. Okay, we need you to understand this. Do you realize what it is that you are advocating? You're advocating that. Do you realize that? Yeah. And you're not going to recant. No. Okay, then you would perhaps be at that point where it's like, okay, fellowship can't happen here. This is a church discipline issue. Seriously. I think we have forgotten what abortion is, this bloody genocide happening right now, the silent screams of over 3,000 babies a day. What would you say about a Christian in Nazi Germany? Yeah, I know they're burning Jewish people in ovens. What's the problem? Well, okay, image bearers of God, thou shalt not murder. Yeah, you know, I just don't see it that way. Maybe there's some good fruit that can come from it. You know, I understand the pressure of being a Nazi. You would think something is radically wrong, and we should too. There are, perhaps out of the tens and tens of people listening right now, who are going, oh, so suddenly politics is an orthodoxy issue. Well, no, not politics, but beliefs about certain things that happen to be in the political realm have theological implications. Furthermore, this is I know that not a lot of people like this. We can sin when we vote. And if somebody is doing that willfully, you've got yourself a church discipline issue. Let's just imagine, just this helps. I always think it's powerful to change the sin. Let's just say a political party was the pro-rape party, but their fiscal policies were sound. They were conservative, small government, big military, toting your weapons wherever you want to in front of everybody. But they're just the pro-rape party. So I'm maybe not nuts about the rape thing, but I'm going to vote for him. Okay, let's make sure we all understand what rape is here. Do we understand what this issue is that, well, you do, and you're still okay with it? Okay, we got a problem. And I think the same thing needs to be true with the life issue. Babies are being murdered. Brutally murdered right now. And you and I, as Christians, are not called to be vigilantes, but we are absolutely not called to participate in the sins of a political party that wants and will even pay for abortions.
I am definitely a wretched man. I am struggling with sins that I am not letting go, which I have tried to in the past, but continue to go right back to.
I want to change your phraseology, mister. Rather than saying I go back to my sins, but see, you said you're trying not to, but you go back. Okay, that's the struggle of the Christian life. You are mortifying sin. You are engaging in battle, and it is not always victorious. There are setbacks. You make a yard, you maybe lose two some days. You gain three, you go back one. That's the process of sanctification. So be encouraged by that. Your struggle is normal. It's not uncommon. It's normal. And God will increasingly give you the strength to mortify more and more of your sins when you recognize that they are sins, but that you recognize that you've been forgiven by the God who died for you while you were yet sinning. And now why would I want to commit the sins that put my Savior on the cross with that knowledge being the source of your energy, the battery that powers your desire for sanctification? You'll grow in holiness. And might I suggest this? This is something that this is just one perhaps tip that might be helpful. If you've been fighting against your sin, you find yourself doing it again. Are you sure you're actually repenting? Or are you merely confessing your sin? Lord, I'm so sorry that I did that. Please forgive me. Now, that's a right prayer, but doesn't include, Lord, give me the power to mortify it. I don't want it, Lord. I want to promise because I know that I'm prone to stumble. But Lord, I want to mortify this. And you get off of your knees and you go to earnest war to kill sin before it kills you. Until tomorrow, go serve your King.